Well, I don't know about you, but this morning I need some fresh oil. Yeah, I need some fresh wine in my spirit and my soul. And so I would love you just to do something to indicate that you want to receive this morning. And we're just going to pray. Father God, we just pray for every person in the room and those who are joining us online at home. And we pray that every heart would have a personal encounter with you this morning, that you would speak directly into their situation, that you would build up, you would strengthen, you would encourage every heart. And Lord, we thank you this morning, Father God, that you are never overwhelmed. You are never surprised. You always have a really good plan. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I awoke on Thursday to hear that President Putin was continuing his assault on the Ukraine and had added to his many attacks an airstrike on a maternity hospital. This, of course, was condemned by world leaders as an atrocity. And my initial heart response was, where will this end? And my emotional response that grieved my soul was one of incredible sadness and horror. And it is in these times that we are living that we have to make a choice, literally every day, because we never know what news is going to break open tomorrow or the next day. And what we have to decide is, are we going to allow fear and anxiety to dominate our thoughts, our thinking, our souls, or are we going to keep going directly to God's word for comfort, for strength, for guidance? Yeah, for insight. So we're no sooner coming to grips with all of this overseas turmoil than I turn on my TV to see a state of emergency in New South Wales as a result of the horrendous flooding on the East Coast. Now, this is different again because this is my home. This is my home country. And it also creates fear and anxiety in my soul for my fellow countrymen. And I feel that I just want to reach out to them as they're suffering such loss. And I don't even want to go there and talk about the ongoing effects of this pandemic that has been raging since March 2020. And there's this long-term cumulative effect that has this whole journey since March 2020 has had on our emotions. It's had on our thinking and it's had on our hearts. And so smack bang in the middle of all this raging around us, we read in Psalm 23, "He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Really? When David penned these words, did he have any idea what we would be facing in 2022? Well, the truth is, he actually faced his own giants. When he came up against Goliath and the Philistine army, when he lived like a fugitive when King Saul was trying to hunt him down and kill him, when his own sons betrayed him, and when he survived assassination attempts by the people that he trusted most in his life. They say that friendly fire is the worst. So before we go any further, I think this morning it's crucial that we understand that we are body, soul, and spirit. And the soul part of us is the part that controls our emotions, our minds, and our hearts. Now, I could get into lots of very deep theological discussions about this whole area of soul and all that, but this morning, I believe it is also where we get that creative gifting and talent that God has uniquely designed for every one of us. So let's look, and you've got your own definition, but what does a healthy soul look like? It is one that is strong, confident, creative, is able to live in peace with others, is not dominated by fear and anxiety, and it is a soul that is able to fulfill their godly responsibilities in their families as part of God's house here at Real Life Church and also in their wider community. So let's revisit Psalm 23. I love it when we all say it together. So let's do that right now. Can we get that up on our screen? All right, are we ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So my focus today, as we continue our journey with Psalm 23, is on He restores my soul. And I want to give you some really practical ways in which this can happen for you in your life in this season. Because you know me well enough by now to know that I really love to get God's word and apply it. How do I take this home with me? How do I live this out? I don't know if that's the school teacher in me, but I just love to feel that people go home with something that they can actually apply to their family, apply to their own life, yeah? And so when we are confronted by fear, be it global, be it Australia-wide, or very, very personal, we must head straight to our Maker. Because it's there in that place that we, first of all, stay grounded in His Word. We find a quiet place, a secret place, the Scripture refers to, where we are able to refresh our souls in His presence. We actually have to stop to do that. Yeah? And sometimes it's actually in the busyness of our current lifestyle, we actually have to stop, not just stop physically, but stop in here. Yeah? And lean in and listen and hear what the heart of the Father wants to say to us. We go into a quiet room maybe and we ask for His help and we ask Him to calm our fears. And there is this beautiful exchange that He wants us to participate in. And it's where we bring all of our fears, all of our concerns. We may have just seen something on the TV. And we ask for this beautiful exchange of His peace for all of our worries, for all of our concerns. And we invite Him to calm us, to center us, to balance us, yeah? And then what happens is this supernatural exchange happens where His peace that passes understanding is given to us. And you know what I'm talking about. You can feel completely overwhelmed and like out of control, and then you invite Him to give that exchange, that supernatural peace. And you hear this voice say, it's going to be okay, Bethwyn. You're going to come through this. It's going to be okay. Yeah? You heard that? It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. We choose to believe the words which say that God is our source. He's our shepherd and he's going to meet our needs, and that our life and our times are in his hands. Don't be under the illusion that you can control everything. You can't. I know the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Romans 14:8, for if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him, and he's got us covered. Yeah? So what we've done now is we've had a little look and tapped into the spirit part of us. Remember, we're body, soul and spirit, to restore our souls. But we also need to tap into something, and there's so many different facets to this whole area of soul, and I'm just trying to cover a few this morning. But we need to tap into the creative humanity that God has given uniquely to each one of us. So I want to tell you a story of a very wonderful pastor's wife who was a guest speaker at a woman's camp that I was running many years ago in my previous church. And I'm going to share her story with you now. So this beautiful lady had three children, and she suffered on the birth of her third child with postnatal depression. And it was severe, it was crippling, and it lasted for about 7 years. She had to be escorted into church and leave before the service was over because she was in such a vulnerable state. She was prayed for, she was counselled, but still nothing changed. And she was getting more desperate, more desperate, more desperate. And in desperation, she cried out to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, I just don't know what else to do. Please help me." And she heard him say this, "What do you really love doing?" She thought, "Well, what do I really love doing? Well, I love gardening and creating beautiful, you know, creations in people's gardens." Well, from that conversation with God, she started to inquire. She felt prompted to ask about doing a horticultural course and getting into that whole area of creating beautiful gardens. And as she started to pursue this in her broken state, her healing began. And the Lord was able to restore, through this creative gift that she'd been given, her soul. She came out of her depression. And once she had a healthy soul again, she was able to minister to others, and she was able to help so many through the experience that she had been through. You see, the shepherd, her shepherd, had restored her soul. You know, in order to be able to restore your soul on a regular basis, you have to create margin. You have to have space in your life to tap into the spiritual, but also the creative and the emotional part of us. So while you're sitting there listening to the message right now, identify two or three things that energize you and you absolutely love to do. Everyone's going to be different. You might be like the lady in the story I've just told who loves gardening. Tony, you love gardening. Some people, it's cooking and blessing people with the food. Others like playing squash, like Pastor David. That is a complete mystery to me, but there are those that love playing squash. Others, it's a ride on a Harley Davidson. Where's Greeny? Is he not in the first service? But maybe you're in a very busy season of life and you have no margin because of young children. Well, don't worry. You'll get that margin back. It's just a season. So on the public holiday on Monday, I asked a group of people who I hung out with what sorts of things restored their soul. And interestingly, they all talked about being near or in water. And that helped to recalibrate and bring back balance to their lives, to their souls. For others, it was being in the bush with nature. For others, it was meaningful music that helped fill their tank. But let's go back to Psalm 23. It says, "He leads me beside still waters." Interesting. "He restores my soul." So let me share with you that for me, you might think, wonder what restores Pastor Bethwyn's soul. I love to have a chat and a coffee with close friends or with my sister, who's one of my close friends, and be totally relaxed in their company and, talk about life and just be ourselves. And once I've done that and I walk through the door, my husband Rod says to me these words, "Okay, who have you been with to fill your tank? Who's restored your soul?" He can straight away tell me from my happy tones that I have had my soul restored, my tank filled, and that I'm energized. You know what I'm energized to do and to be? It helps to energize me so I can keep walking strong and keep walking tall in the calling that God has on my life. Can you see that connection between our spirit, our body, and our soul? And I also find that something that helps to keep my soul whole and healed and balanced is to live light, to keep handing things back, to keep stepping back and say, "Well, Lord, that's too big for me. I've got to give that back to you." Yeah? Because sometimes we can get so weighed down by the intensity, by the heaviness. And in Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine. A broken spirit dries the bones." And one of the other ways I find that restores my soul is a good belly laugh, a really, really good belly laugh. And sometimes that can be watching a movie with lots of banter in it. The other is by playing board games and card games with my family and friends. So, for example, on Thursday night, for those of you, a lot of you know, it was my birthday. And so my daughter Amy and her partner Alex and my other daughter Nat and Rod and I played a whole heap of different games and card games. Anybody played Pass the Pigs? Yeah, played that. Blockus, anybody played Blockus? Yeah, it's a great game. And then we finished off with a good old card game called Cheat. Don't put your hand up if you played Cheat. Well, it turns out that my husband Rod and Alex are very good cheaters. And so we got into it. And you know, we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. It was so much fun. And Friday morning, when I woke up, I felt so refreshed from simply having fun and a good laugh. And particularly in this season that we are living in, there can be so much seriousness, so much intensity, and we can get so weighed down, so bowed down. And it's not that we want to ever take light what is happening in our world, but it can leave our souls depleted. And we need to use the wisdom that is found in this proverb about a merry heart to help us. But I want to go a little bit deeper this morning and talk about what happens when, due to life circumstances, we get a wounded, broken soul. Because all of us come from different backgrounds and we bring with us a whole different lot of experiences, both good and bad. And those experiences affect our hearts, our emotions, our thinking in very negative and harmful ways. So when we have a personal encounter with Jesus and he becomes our Lord and Saviour, we come into this supernatural relationship and experience and we see that he transforms us, he renews us, we become born again. But there can still be some residue from our past. And God the Father wants to bring healing and wholeness to those areas, just like he renews the spirit part of us and completely transforms us. So this morning, I'm sure a lot of you have heard lots of different teaching and preaching on, you know, the wounded soul. But I want to describe how this happens through describing to you an ancient Japanese craft of mending called kintsugi. Has anyone ever heard of it? Yes. This is where the broken pieces of pottery are put back together using gold resin, and the finished pieces are far more beautiful and valuable than before. This is exactly what the heart of the Father wants to do with the parts of our soul that are broken. Jesus takes our brokenness and he uses it and he transforms it into something beautiful. He doesn't leave us there with all of that baggage, but he very respectfully, very kindly helps us to work through it. You know, we should never be ashamed of our past and our brokenness, because he is able to make our brokenness beautiful in his hands. And all of us come here today with lives smashed just like that piece of pottery from the knocks of this life and the woundedness that comes with it. But our shepherd, he is the great restorer of our souls, and he wants to do that for you today. Many years ago, I worked at a church in Wigan. I've mentioned that to you many times. And the senior pastor, Ray Belfield, shared this story. There was a man who was an SAS officer who was in one of the meetings at his church in Wigan. And Pastor Ray went to him at the end of the service. He could see this man was deeply moved. He was crying. And his soul was wounded because he couldn't forgive himself for the lives he had taken and the atrocities he had played a part in. And Pastor Ray said to him how terrible that must have been for him to carry that, a great weight of guilt and shame. Then he said to this SAS officer how we all killed the Son of God because of our sin, but that now we have been forgiven and he can be forgiven too. This broken soul gave his heart to Jesus that day at the end of the service, and his life began from that moment because his spirit was renewed, but his soul began to be restored. Amen? So, embrace your cracks, because once touched and healed by Jesus, he will use that brokenness to help others. Amen? Yeah? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, embrace your cracks? Bray, embrace your cracks. I just love to say goodbye to our online family right now, and thank you for joining us. Mwah, loads of love to you.